Hey, it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. And I'm Dr. Lisa. Hey, thanks for listening. I'm from Radio Free Brooklyn, the greatest radio station in the Western Hemisphere. Please go to our Patreon page and donate a little money, because free speech is like becoming more and more important. And we're really into that. And we're doing some political stuff. We're moving the culture forward. And there's not enough of that. And we take like 50 cents a month is great. Whatever you got, whatever you got. So my way over here, you know, I was thinking, what do I give a shit about today? And I wanted to tell you something that I really think is really important. A lot of times I complain or say like what could be better or whatever. And it was so gorgeous out today. And I feel like really healthy, physically healthy, just for whatever reason today. And I was reminded of how important gratitude is. Gratitude is actually kind of the secret to being happy, because if you appreciate, just take a moment and appreciate the crap you have. Like, you have food in your refrigerator. I know you do. That's my listeners all have food. They may not have really great food, but we're not starving. It's a beautiful day. You've got a radio or some form of listening device. And even better than that, we have this amazing guest on today. There he is. He's really, it's a little nerve-wracking. He's kind of cute. He's really cute. Okay, so it's Joseph Keckler. Hi, Joseph.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Hi. So this all happened very fast. I don't know if Joseph is ready for this. I'm not ready for this because I'm just going to put this together that Joseph sent me all this great music, which I thought I had on a playlist and I screwed up. So we're going to be improving the tech a little bit. But Joseph seems like he's smiling and I'm going to say it's okay. Are you okay? I feel bad about it. I'm just going to tell you, I feel terrible.
Don't feel terrible.
Are you upset about it? Are you like thinking this is when I'm thinking, okay, here's my counter transference. So I've got this really awesome guy who has agreed to be on my show, and his music is amazing and incredibly well respected, and I totally fucked up the tech, and now I'm thinking, he's like, why the fuck am I doing the show? Are you thinking that?
No, I'm not thinking anything.
No?
No, I just woke up, so
yeah,
it takes me a while to transition.
Yeah, you know, you sent me a note. What is with the sleeping thing? You sleep like, what's your sleeping? You said it was eccentric.
Yes.
So what is your sleeping pattern?
Well, I tend to feel safe once the sun comes up to go to sleep.
Oh, so is that like a vampire-y thing?
I mean, it seems like that, but it's not. You know, it's not.
What do you mean by feel safe? Actually, what does that mean?
Well, it just calms me, you know, and I like the night. I like it's quiet. Nobody's. You know, everybody else is sort of put away, and so I don't have to deal with them. And but if I go to sleep in the dark, sometimes I don't know. I like wake up and I'm startled and see weird shadows and things. So at dawn, I feel safe.
Do you sleep a lot, or just, are you just, like a 4-hour night sleeper?
No, I'm not on that like Einstein circadian.
Oh, I don't know.
Agenda, but I sleep, 8 hours, you know, a normal amount.
So you like to sleep when it's light out because you feel...
Yeah, but, you know, I'm trying to transition back to something a little earlier, but, you know.
Do people that know you well or deal with you on a regular basis, is that like part of what they know about you? And then they're like, oh, well, Joseph's not going to be able to have brunch and things like that. Do they complain or are they cool about it?
No, they're okay. Some of those people, I mean, even my mother's sort of nocturnal herself. So I talked to her at 2 or 3 in the morning last night.
Okay.
And now I have to call people in LA at a certain point, you know,
right,
of the night,
right,
because it's earlier for them.
Right, right. So before I get deeper into this conversation with you, Joseph, I want to talk about your music. And I want to talk about how I came to, I'm actually just meeting you, just so you know, guys. I'm just meeting him for the first time right here. Like, I met him for the first time in person 15 minutes ago. So we're all learning, going through this together. Here's the thing. I am so caught up in trying to keep up with comedy and art, and music has just total, throwing music in, which I love, has totally overwhelmed me. I'm also personally really disappointed with music because I'm 60 years old and I grew up with great music, and popular music is just old music. And where are you people playing new music? You have to really look into it. So Joseph, so I got invited to be on the Art Fag City Benefit Committee, and that's why we're here. And it's going to be an amazing benefit. And Joseph, are you performing solo?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So Joseph is going to be a show. Part of it is going to be a show. It's going to be like a whole evening. It's going to be incredible. So I was at the meeting and they have all sorts of things planned. Joseph is the entertainment, but it's going to be like a whole event and people are going to be dressed in goth. And are you excited? You're excited about it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's going to be really cool. Let's tell people to go see it at, so here's where you get tickets. Okay. artfcity.com/gothopera. It's also on my Facebook page, so if you need to reference it, you can just look it up. My Facebook page is public. So what happened was, so I walk in, I'm late to the meeting. I hope Patty's listening, because she's going to, Patty, who is the, founder and visionary behind Art Fag City. Art Fag City is a great art blog. If you do not know, every art person knows, but a lot of what they, It's a real journal. It's a real testament to journalism, not just art, because they are so, relevant, and they're controversial, and they do all sorts of things. So it's a really great blog if you love art, and even if you don't, just to keep up with the culture and the effect art has on it. Patty's like, I've had her on the show. She's crazy committed to good writing, and she doesn't fucking pull any punches. So come to the benefit, because it's going to be fucking incredible. Anyway, the point is, so I walk into this meeting like really late and really embarrassed. And then because I'm late and it's a seat, and then everybody's talking in glowing terms about Joseph Koechler and the benefit. So, Joseph, I felt so embarrassed that I couldn't ask. I couldn't say, who is Joseph Koechler? You understand, right?
It would have been. I would have looked like an idiot. They would have just excused you.
I have a feeling if they're listening to this, I'm not going to be.
You would
on
have
the,
been kicked off the board.
I'm not on the board. I'm only on the benefit.
On the benefit committee.
I mean, I was. We'll see. What do you think? Do you think I'll still be on it?
I think so.
You do?
Yeah.
I don't really. Well, having you on, Joseph, you are helping me politically with Art Fag City.
Oh, good.
anyway, so you should come. It's April 18th. It starts at 6. It goes to 10. But anyway, so I had this happened all like in the last 2 days, right, Joseph?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And I didn't think Joseph was going to be. I was like, Joseph Koechler, he's never going to be on. But you were really sweet. You agreed to do it so quickly. I'm so honored, really. So I started looking up Joseph Koechler, and I can't believe, like, you're considered like a genius. It's true, isn't it? It is. No response. How do you respond to that? Let me just tell you what he says. So anyway, so I look it up, and here's this guy who is an operatic. This is a glowing review in the New York Times, and then I'm going to shut up. I just want you to know how fortunate you are to be hearing this music and what it's about. So, Stephen Holden from the New York Times just recently in the past year wrote, Mr. Koechler is an operatic singer whose range shatters the conventional boundaries of classic singing. The sensibility of a magician, a trickster's dark humor, and a formidable musical and literary erudition. Mr. Koechler is one of the brightest lights
Oh, but don't say that part. Well, that's okay. It says alt cabaret, which is you know, not my.
You don't like being put in that category.
Not my, but it's okay because he wrote all those nice things.
But you also like won best downtown performance artist from the Village Voice and stuff like that, right? And like you shatter unconventional boundaries. How do you handle all this shit? That's what I really want to know. What did that feel like when you read that New York Times review?
Gosh.
Or do you?
Funnily enough, I had people, a couple people around me, and I thought, well, this is, you know, and a lot of artists also don't read reviews, which I think is a good policy, really.
Yeah.
But especially I think actors don't read
reviews. Yeah.
And for them, I really understand why that's psychologically necessary. But I read it and I thought it was good. And I was really happy and I started sharing. I said, called up a couple of people. And I said, look, did you see the review? And then these people around me started sort of, you know, coming with these petty grievances. Well, but he didn't mention the blah, blah, blah. And I just.
So you weren't saying that, but your other people were?
It just happened to be the first two people I called.
That's so weird.
It was sort of absurd. I mean, you know, since he lavished all this praise on me, said all these hyperbolic things, and then a couple people were.
So did that hurt? Did that take some of it away?
Well, it just seems like a downer for a second, but I think I was still pleased that I.
You know what's interesting to me about that? What's interesting is that most people are so. Floored, like it's interesting that somebody of your level of performance where it radiates, your press radiates out that you have outside people complaining about it, because I imagine most people are just like, hey, that's my press, it's so good, like you were saying. And then like to actually have other people, like a business person,
you know, these were people who've been invested in my work for a long time.
Yeah.
And you know, I think there's some, although they were Debbie Downers in the moment, I think it was grounded in support and thinking, you know, having their own stuff tied up in my work.
In your career, yeah,
and wanting me to be somehow represented in all this, in, you know, dimension,
right?
Which I'm really thankful to Stephen Holden for the review.
Okay, well, here's what I wanted to say about the music. The music is amazing. It is for somebody who's just like it, the closest thing is it comes to his opera, right? Would you say, for somebody who doesn't know a lot about music, like
Well,
me.
I do a couple different, you know, I sort of give myself lots of permission, but I incorporate opera into my stuff.
And your vocal range and the quality of your voice is capable of an opera. You know, I mean, isn't opera considered like a very certain level of ability or gift or whatever? Isn't so you can do that?
Yes.
Yeah, and when I. Obviously, this just came together in the last couple of days, but the thing is that I wanted to say how much I love, 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 love the videos, because for so many reasons, they're surreal, they're beautiful, they're funny, they're dark, they're enchanting, there's so many things. But I love, like, were you singing in Italian and then there's subtitles? Is that what it is?
Yeah, right. Which is why some of the stuff won't work well on the radio, because sometimes I sing in Italian or German or nonsense language that I made up.
Oh, really?
And then use, for performance, super titles that are translating, and for the videos, little subtitles.
So do you do that in a live performance? Will we be seeing that at the Goth Opera?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
how is that? Is that protected on a screen, then, the titles?
Yeah. I mean, at the benefit, which I guess is sort of themed around this one video of mine that's the Goth song.
Right.
I actually might screen that, but live, you know, what I call like reverse lip sync, which is I'll do a live vocal, but there'll be an image of me on the screen.
Right, you know?
We might actually kind of screen that video, but it'll have subtitles, and then I'll do a couple other pieces, some of which will have super titles.
Right. Now I'm really more. So what I'm trying to say is that there is something really special about the visual part of it, and you've got a great visual sense. And just funny and dark. And I knew, you know what, the woman who plays the mom in the goth video was at my wedding.
The teacher, the authority figure, the mom. The employer, the boss. Right. The manager.
Yeah, the manager.
Yeah, Lisa Kaplan.
Yeah, it all goes in my head, it's all mom.
Right.
But yeah, she was great. I was so happy to see her in there.
Isn't she a good actress?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I hadn't seen that side of her. I've seen her do stand-up, and like I said, she was at my wedding, which was at Here Arts Center. You must have performed there. Have you ever performed there?
Yes, yeah.
My husband and I were on the board for like 10 years, and we got married there.
Oh.
Anyway, so we're going to listen to two of Joseph's songs so we can get the idea about how fantastic and original his music is.
Long nights always bring me down. Do you agree? Okay, drive me around town tonight. Hunger fills my cheeks. Why can't we stop somewhere? Why won't you speak to me? I don't understand myself. Why did I hide?
Feeling that a man in a Lincoln Town car is going to pull up outside your house and call you on your cell phone and say, "I'm here." And you, being puzzled but also curious, will probably go outside to see who he is. But then when you catch a glimpse of him through the slightly tinted passenger side window,
he'll have second thoughts. But then he'll roll down the window, and he will say to you this.
So what I was sort of going to ask you about was that you obviously are really, I mean, you are an incredibly accomplished young, well, I think you're a young man. You said you're in your 30s?
I am now.
Which is pretty young.
Yeah.
And you must have been like, were you a child prodigy? What was that like?
No, I wasn't a child prodigy.
So what was, what was your childhood like then? Or how did you come into being like such an accomplished musician is what we're.
Well, I think that, that's very kind of you to say. And as a child, I was kind of quiet and creative and making up my own little things.
Were you always interested in music?
And visual art and I was a Cab Calloway impersonator as an elementary schooler. So.
Get out! That's crazy.
Which, you know, wouldn't be politically correct for me to do at this point, but I did that and then. As a teenager, I also was, you know, I wanted to be some sort of singer. I didn't want to be an opera singer, but I couldn't sustain my voice. I would lose my voice after just like a song or something.
Mm-hmm.
So then I started seeing a teacher.
Ah, so what about your parents? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in a small town in Michigan.
Mm-hmm. And what, did you have brothers and sisters?
I have an older brother.
And was music part of your household?
Yeah, my mom actually is a good singer. She didn't perform as a singer or anything, but she has a really beautiful voice.
Uh huh.
So, I have something of her on this phone. Play.
That would be cool. Did they encourage you to be musical, or was it just something that you had in yourself?
My parents got me piano lessons and stuff, for which I'm very grateful. And then I got had voice lessons.
Was it something that when you got piano lessons, was it something that you wanted, or were they just trying it out sort of thing? Were you like, I want piano lessons?
I'm trying to
figure out is the nature nurture thing. Like, was there a lot of music around, or was it just something that you were really somehow like exposed to, and then you know, something that you found, stumbled into, is I guess what I'm saying.
Well, I've had a kind of, in a certain way, I've had a sort of tortuous trajectory because, you know, then I went to school to become a painter, but kept performing, and then I kind of started doing theatrical performance art, but thinking about visual art, and then I came back into, and I trained as an opera singer, and so I've always been sort of straddling a couple different frameworks,
mm-hmm.
So I try to stay grounded in a couple disciplines, you know, in music and in writing to some degree, but contextually I'm sort of, you know, just exploding, so or oozing, or you know, whatever.
Well, that explains like why the visual aspect of your work is you know, pretty. Is like incredibly compelling. It actually is my taste, for real. I mean, I just really like that kind of stuff, but it's also really good in that way. Are you really involved in like directing the videos and putting them together? And
yeah, it depends on the video. I work a lot with my collaborator Laura Teruzzo, and she co-directs certain things, and she has shot a lot of stuff, and mm-hmm. she's really talented as a cinematographer too.
So where did you go to college?
University of Michigan.
And did you study painting there?
I did, yeah.
Did you have like some fantasy, like those all those other painter listeners out there? Do you have some crazy fantasy about being a painter?
I don't think I had a crazy fantasy of, maybe I had an interest, and you know, I enjoyed. Actually,
was that what you were really most drawn to?
I enjoyed painting. Yeah, mm-hmm. I enjoyed, in a certain way, I think painting, well, I don't think it's more enjoyable than singing, actually. It's more enjoyable than writing things.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, it's, and I wasn't bad at it, but I think that I also wasn't, you know, it's not that I was amazing as a painter, as a draftsman in terms of using paint, I think. I wasn't bad, but I wasn't that. And I think that I also have a weird relationship to objects. Once I make something that's an object, I mm-hmm. have trouble living with it. So,
what does that mean?
I don't know, but I think it's part of the reason that I became a performer, and at least, yeah.
You mean you don't like having it around you? It makes you uncomfortable? In what way? Is that what you mean, or...
Yeah,
can you explain?
I mean, you know, I'm also right now working on a book project that, and I'm making all these little vignettes and essays and texts, and I'm becoming aware of this now that I always want to keep changing something. So
mm-hmm.
I'm not satisfied. If there's a moment when I'm satisfied with it, mm-hmm. that the satisfaction dissolves later mm-hmm. in a different moment, and yeah, so.
So once you make something, you tend to be critical?
Yeah.
Or you're
and
critical.
With performances, at least, I mean, yeah, there's the, you know, they exist in a way, but you still perform them live. So there's still this, they're never really the same.
You know, it's interesting. I relate to that because I used to feel that way about cooking, like it's gone. So, no, I know what you mean. And there's like a lot less pressure. Is your brother a musically talented or creative person?
My brother's actually involved in politics more and stuff, and law.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not uncreative, actually.
Is he a lawyer?
Yeah, he's been a law professor, and then he went back to school for public policy, and yeah.
So when you were growing up, you seem to me like, I picture you as like a pretty introverted child, like just doing stuff on your own a lot. Is that true, or is there any truth in that?
Yes. I mean, I had friends, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I had friends, and strangely, I sort of like organized lots of activities and stuff too, but. I also was alone and completely satisfied, you know, being alone, mm-hmm. I think, or mm-hmm. yeah.
You seem like, yeah, you're very internally driven. Are you internally driven creatively? I mean, are you kind of like a workaholic? I mean, is there a lot of like, and I don't even mean that in the classic sense. I mean, I'm imagining that you're just somebody who like has a lot of stuff you want to put out there and make and do all that. And that's just very consuming, all consuming. Does that make sense?
Well, I'm very obsessed with that. I don't know that I'm, you know, I'm not one of those people who sits down at 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock every day.
And, right. You that's know, what I mean.
It's not as, mm-hmm. as structured as that. And mm-hmm. I think because, I have a few different projects, it's also hard to juggle, and I do tons of administrative
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, there's
too.
A lot of business to there's it,
a
isn't
lot of,
there?
Yeah, there's a lot of that, which isn't really like a barrel of fun, exactly.
Right, but yeah, because it's, but, yeah, and you travel a lot?
I do, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go to two places before I go to the Art of City.
Really? Where are you going?
I'm going to Hudson.
Hudson, New York?
And then Austin, Texas.
Oh, wow. So. You're like for a festival?
Yeah, for Hudson, we're doing a concert on Sunday at this mm-hmm. place called Club Helsinki. And I think it's also like a benefit for an animal shelter.
Oh, wonderful.
And then I'm going to Austin for a festival called Fusebox.
Ah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, you might have. Yeah, it's kind of.
Is it all music or is it?
It's actually. You know, kind of more of an experimental theater and art performance
cool.
and music. So it's kind of
cool.
Interdisciplinary.
So how did music and singing, how did you get started on voice lessons? That must have been sort of in the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what prompted that?
Well, I had some notion of becoming, you know, of becoming a white blues singer.
How old were you?
Well, I think, I don't know, like I mean, I always wanted to be that. So like 13 or 14 mm-hmm. or 15.
Adolescent.
Or, you know, adolescent. And so, mm-hmm. and so, you know, I would play these old blues songs and sing them, but I would kind of bark them out and stab at the keys and lose my voice. After singing one of those, so then I started taking voice lessons.
And were your parents supportive of that?
Yes, yeah.
Were they always pretty supportive?
My parents were supportive, I come from an artistic family, mm-hmm. and so I think that for me, mm-hmm. which I notice, you know, because I have a lot of friends too who are. Artists and sometimes didn't come from an artistic family or their families wouldn't have a frame of reference for what they were doing. So mm-hmm. I come from a family of artists, but I think in the Midwest, you know, you don't really think they never saw themselves as making a living from their work. So I had a lot of aunts and uncles who would paint or sing or do these different things. But my parents did for a long time want me to get, you know, a 9-to-5 job or something.
Oh,
and
really?
You know, it's a kind of Midwestern.
What did your father do?
He managed a grocery store.
So where were the artistic side of them? You said they were artistic.
Yeah, I mean, my dad, you know, would like write poetry that he didn't show to people, but.
And did he read it to you? Did you see him doing it? Or?
Yeah, some here and there, here mm-hmm. and there, and he would tell me stories at night when I went to sleep,
and
create this mythology and stuff.
So that must have really influenced you.
Yeah.
Are you close with them now?
I am. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are they excited about what you've done with your life?
I think so. Yeah, I think at a certain point. You know, for a long time, they really wanted me to get some kind of job, any you know, which I've had many jobs actually, but mm-hmm. And they liked me having these
You don't have a job, a day job now.
No, no, I don't.
What jobs did you have?
My first job was, I worked for $8 an hour at the Guggenheim, mm-hmm. selling audio guides to people. I had to go out and say, we have audio guides at the box office and this sort of thing. And I worked for a blind gallerist on the Lower East Side.
Cool. What gallery?
And, it was called Tribes. It's like sort of.
Oh, I heard of that. Yeah, Third Street?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know the gallery. I've been there. It's upstairs.
Yeah.
Steve awesome Cannon. Gallery.
Yeah, I worked for Steve Cannon.
Oh, I love that gallery. That was like so authentic.
Yeah.
Real deal gallery. Really great. Wow, that must have been a cool experience.
Worked for him for a little bit. My friend Chavisa worked for much longer for him. Worked for like a guy who sold pirated opera recordings. And where I worked at a music publishing company for a couple of years in their library. Yeah, you know. Never, these were never greatly remunerative.
Were you always, like, at a certain point, did you have your eye on being a, you know, musician person, music person?
Well, I worked doggedly all the time while having those jobs.
Right. Yeah. So what you were just... Or you probably didn't even think about it. You were just like, I got to make some money. I'm doing this.
Yeah, I just, you know, for a long time, I just sort of scraped by and worked in these.
So, you know, it's funny because I had this image of you from all the, you know, just looking at your website and you know, the quality of your work. What impressed me was it made me think that you were just like some, like I asked before, child prodigy, and that like you had no idea, you like didn't, you know, I'm curious about your struggle a bit. Like, so what you're doing now is very, very critically acclaimed. No, you do know that, right? I mean, we have to say that's truth, right? That's just the truth.
I've gotten some nice,
was there, you seem very internally driven. You are not, I mean, you don't seem like you have a big ego about it in the sense like you're like, I believe your authenticity. I feel it. I feel like you are really, this is work that's coming out of you, that you're not self-consciously trying to make something happen. Is that I mean, you know, you want to get your work out there and stuff. You're not like naive about it, but
I think probably ultimately that's true. I probably do have a big ego, and I probably do make certain choices that are calculating, and then reckon with those and look at my choices and say, okay, well, is this really? Am I doing this because I want it to get attention, or am I doing this because it's
that's interesting.
You know, authentic. You know, authentic.
Can you give us an example of that? Of one of those things recently? He's smiling and.
Well, you know, sometimes I guess I've gotten the most attention for these sort of funny autobiographical, but sort of subversive opera things that I do.
Right.
And I think that's because it seems sort of inventive to people that I'm using, you know, personal narrative, but channeling it through this operatic form. So I think that's legit. And then sometimes I meander over and try to make kind of like these weird pop songs. And I think that's also coming from an authentic place. But, you know, I do look at, also, because I've always been in between a few different economies, you know. Mm-hmm. I've been invited into a comedy context, sometimes art world, music world. Mm-hmm. So then once you get into one of those places, you start looking at the conventions and okay, well, even if you're upending those conventions, how are you still playing to that crowd? Mm-hmm. So I think that in a way, a lot of my work is about that question. So I'm always... I think that the space that's kind of an in-between space, or where I'm not thinking about how to satisfy a certain group, I think it's more legit in those instances. If that makes any sense.
Yeah. It's kind of like, well, now you're on a comedy stage. And of course, like, how do you succeed on a comedy stage? Is that what you mean? Kind of like anybody would be, it would be natural to start thinking that way, or how to make this work in this.
I guess when people are shaping their careers, you know, they really think about that. And then often at a certain point, their work pales sometimes, I think, or their work becomes self-parodic, or their work, I mean, in the comedy world, for instance, which I don't, which I am in sometimes, I think a lot of, I mean, you know, everybody's just trying to make everybody laugh, but a lot of the material is not that fresh in that world, you know? And so I think there are these go-tos for people. Okay, well, if I tell a joke about being a drunk or whatever. And so I think each art form has certain limitations and certain, you know, in the
conventions.
Art conventions, conventions and economies too, and who you're trying to please. If it's a, you know, so in the art world, it's a really different kind of economy than say in the theater world, you know, and, but the economies are what are driving those artistic practices in a certain way. And so I just kind of like, you know,
so you
I'm a shady character with my hands in my pockets, who's kind of like on the outskirts.
I love that.
Yeah.
So you have kind of it sounds like you have kind of have a interest in almost like a creative or a sociological interest in the business aspect of all the different fields that you wind up in. Is that right? It's sort of a puzzle to work with, maybe inspiring to a degree. Is that right? You seem to like be able to be aware of them, which is
I find it curious. Yeah. But I guess that psychologically, I identify myself as kind of somebody who's outside. So I never, once I start feeling too inside something, it makes me uncomfortable, and I want to complicate.
Right.
Complicate it.
You want to make you want to make things harder.
Yes.
They need to be.
Yes, exactly.
That's
at every turn. Right.
So is there any career like, I mean, what, like, you're pretty amorphous. Is that a good word? I think that's legitimate.
I don't think that I'm amorphous.
I think your output. But wait, I just want to ask you. So is there anybody's career or like that you would be like, oh, I would like to get to do that. Is there like a goal that you could even, do you have a goal? Could you look at a goal? Is there somebody's, you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. I think I'm driven more by, you know, it's constantly sort of balancing ambition and what's the other word? Like what I want my work, you know, an artistic agenda. So I have a large ambition. So, you know, I would like a larger audience.
Audience. You know? Okay.
Yeah. A larger audience. And then in terms of the platform, it's less. And I think there are career models, but you know, what interests me, you know, usually they're really, people I admire are really blazingly original and kind of somehow don't fit any kind of mold.
So that
I think we have to think along those lines sometimes, you know, that there might not be a precedent that's visible until later. You know,
well, you kind of answered it by saying that you just really want to expand your audience, which makes a lot of sense, and that seems like a really good goal. We have 15 minutes left. There's two things that I'm curious about and I want to make sure to get to. And one of them is, I wonder if you had a lot of anxiety as a child or something, or fear.
Fear or anxiety as a child.
Or now. Is there anxiety part, like maybe irrational anxieties? Do you have any anxieties?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, exaggerated anxieties.
Well,
any weird ones you can share? How's that?
Yeah, I you know, so Sometimes I'm neurotic, and sometimes I like will go into little you know, episodes of like hypochondria.
Ah, like imagining.
Yeah, imagining that my body might be failing or turning against me, and
cancer. I have that all the time. I have that all the time.
Like, yeah.
Do you worry about that?
It could be anything.
Anything.
I mean, yeah.
And it feels real.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm imagining like you were afraid of the dark or something as a kid.
Well, I was prone to hallucinating.
Like, what do you mean?
Dark.
Or seeing
creatures and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Did that have anything to do with your dad's stories?
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Just visual things, probably.
Yeah, just probably, you know, either I have a schizoid personality type, or psych, whatever you would call it, psychological profile, or maybe, you know, I was born on Day of the Dead, and maybe I'm the veil for me is very thin, and I have lots of visitors.
I like that.
Yeah.
And then relationships. We haven't talked about relationships. So I never assume anybody's any particular gay, straight, or anything. So are you any particular thing?
I mean, everything's particular, but I wouldn't plaster one of those words on my chest.
Have you had any relationships? Are you in a romantic type of relationship? Are you in a relationship now?
I'm not in a relationship now.
Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah, I have had some.
So you've had some long-term relationships.
Yeah.
So what was the last one?
I got out of a relationship about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And was it with a male or a female?
It was, I'd actually rather not.
Don't want to talk about it? That's cool.
Into that stuff so mm-hmm. much. I mean, I'm happy to talk in a more abstract
way.
Well,
I guess what I'm sort of interested in is I think that, you know, relationships, you know, intimate relationships are often, you know, they often expose a lot of what we don't, our issues that we don't normally deal with in day-to-day life. And I guess that's kind of why I was sort of asking about them. Is there any kind of, like, how do you feel about having relationships? Are those things that, intimate relationships, are those things important to you? Or is there, like, do you think with your work and the way your life is set up and the way you are as a creative person, is that conducive to having intimate relationships, I guess?
I think it's conducive to having intimate relationships in some way, but I don't know. I think it would depend on the person. You know, you need a lot of space for yourself and your own work, and you know, and mm-hmm. aside from the practical challenge of traveling mm-hmm. all the time, and somebody might not like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, or might want some, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How many days, like, are you traveling almost all the time, or?
It's about half the time.
Half the time. And when you travel, do you have people that you travel with mostly?
Sometimes, sometimes not.
So sometimes you're traveling by yourself?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah. Does that get lonely?
Or is it
usually there's enough people? I mean, or maybe you don't even want to, maybe you like that.
I don't mind it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
I'm wondering if, like, your mom, because you said that I get the feeling you talk to her a lot regularly.
Yeah, I talk to both my parents a lot.
Are they like a stabilizing factor in your life? Are there people that are a stabilizing factor in your life?
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I have a lot of friends who are both warm, brilliant, and also unhinged. So I wouldn't say that you know, a lot of the people who I surround myself with, yeah, they're stabilizing to me, although they may not be stable.
Right. No, but consistency.
Yeah.
People are predictable in their unpredictability, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's all you really need. So we got 8 minutes left. I want to talk a little bit more about the benefit. But so how are you happy where you are in your life? This seems like a good place to be.
Yeah, I have a couple things I'm working on that I hope come through. And, you know, as long as I have these things to do, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was the biggest turning point in your career as far as getting to the place where it is now? Was there a body of work that kind of...
I haven't really thought about it that much. I think, mm-hmm. you know, but to me it seems sort of gradual, and then at some point it seems like people have some context for you or recognize you or mm-hmm. if you, yeah, yeah.
So it's really slow, isn't it?
But the,
I mean, in a sense, it happens very gradually.
I think for me it had. Mm-hmm. There have mm-hmm. been a few different opportunities mm-hmm. that I think sometimes open doors to other ones.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
And what is the aspect of your work that you're most focused on right now? Is there any way to generalize on these are big questions for one conversation, because they're all kind of separate conversations, frankly. I'm just trying to get as much in.
Right.
Is it a certain type of music? Is it a certain kind of film? Is it, you know, acting? You act too, right?
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes. But that's not something I've pursued.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got some songs I'm going to release, some new videos I'm working on. I might do something, a TV thing that I should know about soon.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I have a book that's going to come out in the fall too.
Oh, wonderful! What kind of book?
It's a book of stories, essays, vignettes, and you know, sometimes scripts from performance that I'm adapting for the page.
So mostly creative writing.
Yeah, I would say autobiographical fiction.
Oh, that sounds really neat. Who's the publisher? Or where?
Turtle Point Press.
And where? When is it coming out?
In November.
Are you going to have book signing?
Yeah, I'll go on a tour.
Go on a tour, so we can talk about that. When it happens, you have to let us know.
Okay.
So I've got like four. Is there anything else that you wanted that I didn't ask you? Was I grilling you? Did you feel grilled?
I don't feel grilled. No, and in terms of the relationship thing, I just, you know, it wasn't, you know, I've, you know, had relationships with, you know, boys and girls and, mm-hmm. you know. But I just don't want to go into the particulars.
I don't blame you, because there's probably those, people that you know that might hear this at some point, or people that, right? I don't blame you.
Yeah, I mean, I like to, you know, I don't, yeah, but I yeah.
We got it.
Yeah.
I got the picture, though. I got the picture, and you're a young man. You must have, I mean, you must have a billion options. He's so cute. I really appreciate you being here. What you should really do, listeners, is just go to my Facebook page and look at all the stuff there, and I'll be posting a lot. I'll be posting all the songs that are in the playlist, and I want to remind people once again, like, how great this benefit. I'm psyched about the benefit, right?
Yeah.
Aren't you? I think it's going to be so fun, and I think, like, they're going to be able to do the whole space up. And
Jamie Warren is helping.
Cool. You know, I don't know. See, who's that?
She's a my friend. She's a really good visual artist. She does things like, she'll make like a Fra Angelico altarpiece, but with all horror movie villains and stuff. She's really good.
Oh, wow. I can't wait. It's going to be so freaking awesome. I am definitely going to be there. You should see. And I mean, it's going to be a really great experience. It's not like just a benefit. It's like a whole experience, and people are encouraged to dress in a goth way, and It's just going to be fun. So please come. It's at, and if you want to read more about it or get tickets, it's at artfcity.com/gothopera. Oh, and also I wanted to mention for the, if you buy a ticket for $750, you are going to make a phone, an answering message?
Well, tell me. I don't know what it says.
Whatever it says, I guess I'll... They asked you, right?
They did. Yeah, Patty asked me. There were a couple different things. She was like, it was like this or that. So I'm not sure what I've agreed to, but... I will do it, I assure you.
Well, somebody had a great idea at the meeting I was at, and we all got excited about it. So I guess, like, if it was, it would be like, hey, you know, whatever, you know, Lisa's not here, but leave a message or whatever it is, you know, that kind. That's the basic idea. But I think that was such a cool idea, and it's cool that you're going to do it. So if you get a, you know,
yes, maybe
I think
I'll,
it's a great idea. It'll be really funny. They'll probably ask you to sing something, or who knows.
I'll sing it, or just, I'll make it.
Yeah,
I'll
whatever they
good.
Want.
Whatever, whatever for, you know, for that kind of money, whatever you want.
Yeah, and also, by the way, the benefit is going to be at Collapsible Hole on 55 Bethune Street, which is going to be in, you know, anyway. I hope I get to see you guys there, you listeners, you, because I'm going to be there too, and I'd love you to come. So anyway, thanks again for listening to Radio Free Brooklyn.